Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Join me, your host, Susie Bonham Craig, as we embark on another journey to open the portal of wisdom. I invite you to participate in the chat room and call in with your questions on 718-305-6584 and press 1 to enter the queue. And now, our journey begins. Journeyers and soulmates, welcome to another edition of Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Today is Sunday, August 16th. We are right smack in the middle of our summer, and I hope everyone's enjoying this wonderful weather. At least we are here on the East Coast, and I'll be happy to report that my golden Casey is in the room with me today, so if you hear her, you'll know what that's all about. And we have a really special show this evening, and it really comes on the heels of our show last week with Ariel Ford. We're very fortunate to have her on the show and to talk about her most recent book, The Soulmate Secret. And after the show, during the week, I received several calls from listeners and a couple from friends that were interested in hearing more about soulmates. And specifically, I had one that was questioning, you know, she wanted to actually have a soulmate ceremony on the Friday where, you know, Venus is active and in the sky. And there were other people that had mentioned they wanted to know, you know, how do they know when the time is right for them to have a soulmate? And I have a special featured guest who's joining me this evening, a very good friend, Solana. Solana, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Susie. So glad to be here with you, as always.
Yes.
Love your energy.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be fun. And for our listeners, just so you know, Solana has her own radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. And one of the soulmates that I actually joined in when I first came on Blog Talk Radio, and you know, Solana has been on her show before, and I just invite you to check out her show. She has a live show on Saturday night, which is called Saturday Night Life, and it's shifting into the love consciousness, and it's really a great energy show. So is there anything else you can tell our listeners about yourself tonight, Solana, before we embark on this soulmate journey?
You know, just that I am a light being. I know that we all are here for a reason now, and I need everyone to remember that. Our message is one of love and harmony, peace, and all of these things that begin within by connecting to your energy system within the chakra system and getting to know who you truly are. It gives you such great focus and clarity on the choices that you have come before you, because that is truly what guides us, is our choices that come before us and our thoughts on those choices, our emotions that we attach to those thoughts that create different reasons why we make those choices. And so a lot of it has to do with, you know, seeking out, because I don't know how much memory a lot of people have. I have memory of when I was in spirit and before I came here and before I've sojourned into many journeys over thousands of years. And one of the things that we remember is the essence of being in that spirit. And when we actually interact in spirit form, it's much like the rush, the label of an orgasm in a lot of aspects, that rush that you get when you you know, just barely touch up another essence. And it's that connection that is direct when you're in spirit. And so we crave that, and why here in flesh, you know, that we seek it out. We have to have connections. And depending on the way we were brought up, you know, directs those experiences that we go into. And so that's what I like to talk about. I love to, it's my passion to assist others, empower themselves by getting to know that energy system and always going within for your answers. You can go externally for, you know, your whole life through and never find the answer because it's not anything that's outside of you. It is within you. And so that, you know, that connection that we want with everybody else has to first start within ourselves. And so we truly understand what we do by our thoughts, you know, and how it truly does create your reality and where we're going to go next and the choices that you're going to make that take you to the next experience. So it's to be aware completely and be in that essence of that spirit that we strive to get across. And, I do believe, like I tell everyone, I'm 46 years old. I don't have a problem saying I'm 46 years old because for me that is young. You know, so I'm 46 years old, and I've seen spirit since I was 6 years old. And so for me, it's been 40 years coming that we're now at the point where we're, you know, so such in a public arena. We've been on YouTube now for a couple of years and, Blog Talk Radio now for a year. But, you know, that's on a more, you know, global aspect of being out in the public because we've always been in the public and we've always spoken our mind and told people what we saw, which sometimes got us in trouble. But, it's that walk, that path, and getting in touch with everything and knowing who we truly are and understanding the energy play that's going on around us all the time, 24/7, whether we're aware of it or not. And so it's better to be aware.
Yes, it is.
They say ignorance is bliss, and I say no, bliss is bliss, ignorance is ignorance. And ignorance is defined as only not knowing, not understand, you know, not having that complete knowing and understanding. That's the definition of ignorance. That's not to be insulting to anyone or for anyone to take that personally. It's simply a word that we've attached to a meaning, and so we use it.
Well, that's true. And when we, you know, that's really, really profound that you just brought that up because it really is what we're attached to. And that's what I'd like to get into tonight regarding soulmates. And in finding a soulmate on our journey, we have this, like you mentioned before, this deep desire for connection, and we have this in spirit already. So it's about coming into, you know, connecting that spirit aspect that's in within ourselves. And I think that's really important because I think it is about ourselves. And, you know, we travel through life, and I know that I did as a child. I mean, you know, very early on, there were three things that were inevitable, and that was bath time, bedtime, and homework, you know. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, it became, you know, broken hearts, being grounded, and I don't mean with both feet on the ground, but, you know, and more homework, you know. And then as it got on, it was, it's time to find a mate. It's time now for all the experiences that you have, you know, going through puberty and having these feelings, and everything is so much more intense. Our feelings are so intense because we're trying to break through this new egg, you know, of our finding out our personalities. And all of us that have children, we know that from a parent's perspective as well, that it can be sometimes frustrating. And I think that's where we can finally empathize with our parents. But I want to dip a little bit more into the traditional concepts of union and marriage. And, you know, as far as we can go back to the ancient times, you know, mostly marriage and bonding and union was really for the strength and the continuing evolution of the species. And it was really an animalistic, humanistic trait that we had. It was the survival of the best of who we were. And I think as time has gone on and, you know, societies were developed, that we had a notion that this is now ingrained. And often you see it, you still see it today, that there are marriages out there that are arranged. And I need to tell you, when I started on my prolific journey of locating a soulmate or finding out through my journeys, you know, who was really going to be right for me, who was going to be the one. Because that's all I knew, was that there was only going to be one. And I didn't know anything else. So when you talk about ignorance, I was at that point where I grew up and my conditioned beliefs were, was that, you know, the women get married and the men, you know, go out and go to work, you know. Right. And I was always a rebel as a child. I was a rebel with a cause because right. I so much believed in my causes. So now, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, people in my family thought otherwise, you know. I was the dreamer. I was the cosmic person. And like you, at 6 years old, I had a spiritual awakening. And I'm not going to go into that now because I really like to follow the steps about you know, union, marriage, and our conditioned beliefs, and then further go into the depths of why it is that we go through life yearning and longing. And mm-hmm. we feel that we need to seek and search a part, you know, out mm-hmm. this partner, this one true love of our dreams. Now, Solana, if you would, take us into some of your beliefs growing up. Because I know that we have visitors and listeners, whether mm-hmm. they be on the phone or in the chat room, they're really interested in hearing and knowing that sometimes their searches and this yearning and this longing is something that they really can't get over. It, right. it almost seems like it's a crying need
mm-hmm.
to find someone.
It is. And it is a crying need, and it comes from within. But to start from the beginning, you know, like from birth, you know, we go through what we go through from birth as far as, you know, learning how to talk and walk and function around our parents. And we learn from their examples of what they do around us and from what the people on the television and all of these things that we're told and taught. You know, it's happened generation after generation, unfortunately, in a negative way for a lot of things that have been happening for us. But from 6 years old, you know, I became more aware only because I witnessed my cousin pass over. I saw his body leave the house, and it you know, totally, you know, opened up the door for me as far as knowing that other spirit world. I didn't understand. I was 6 years old, so I had no understanding of what I was seeing. But so my belief as I was growing up, I'm, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and I'm seeing all this spirit going on around me. I'm knowing things. I'm telling my mother these things. I'm telling people around me, anyone who walks by me, you know, if I saw something about him, I would say it because I was innocent. You know, I thought that I was seeing what everybody saw first, you know, until everybody that around me I was telling had no clue, would go screaming off, would start crying, you know, because of things that I told them. And so at the same time, I was going to churches. My father was on his own spiritual salvation journey. And so I was going to churches and being exposed to other religions. And I mean all of them. It's not like we went to a church and was there for a few years. No, my dad would go to a church for a while, get saved in that church, and then, you know, for whatever reason, whatever his, you know, journey was and for whatever he had to go through, he would go look for another church. And so we went to, you know, Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, and Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. I mean, you did all of them. I think the only thing he didn't take me to was Buddha or, you know, anything like that. And I sought that out later. So I grew up with these beliefs and, again, telling people things that I felt while I was going through these emotions and learning and all this about the churches. If I spoke out against anything that, you know, didn't go along with the norm, I was told to be quiet, and then several times I was actually asked not to come back because I questioned. I was the rebel, and I questioned everything because everything to me felt backwards. And so, you know, because I'm seeing one thing, I'm being told another, and then on my third life growing up, and I say third life because they were all three, like, separate lives I was living, I was being abused. It was, you know, a bad home life. I was, you know, raised by an alcoholic and, you know, the whole typical stereo experiences that we can all talk about now from growing up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and so on. And so I had three realities going on, so I really had to base what I felt and what I knew on my own experiences, on myself, because I knew what I was seeing and going through was backwards. You know, it wasn't right. So my belief growing up was a total spirit. I mean, I really believed what I was seeing, opposed to what people would tell me I was crazy and not seeing. And it was I was told by a psychiatrist at the age of 11 that I had an overactive imagination. So, you know, belief has always been in spirit. I've always had that direct spirit connection, you know, since then, because I wasn't going externally, because everything externally to me didn't appear right.
Okay,
so
but
it was that court.
For those of us that don't have those spirit connections like you had, and now, you know, we're on the journey and we've gone through several relationships. Some of us have been married and divorced, or going through divorce and trying to understand what went wrong with what we thought was.
Oh, yeah.
And see, I really want to really touch into this topic, only because there's a disconnect. I feel that there's a disconnect out there about the seeking and the longing for the connection. And, you know, why is it that that meet people and we're so enamored of them, and we, you know, we find all these things that resonate with us, and then what happens along the journey? What is it that, you know, sends the messages to us that now something's disconnected?
Right. Well, like I said, there was three realities going on. So the one reality that seemed to make the most impression in my life was the flesh. And so what I had experienced and gone through within the flesh brought to me, because I got pregnant at the age of 15 with my first baby. I, you know, had sexual abuse growing up from, you know, probably around the age of 5 or 6 it started as well. And so sexual abuse and out, you know, from family members. And so going through that and getting set up in the thoughts of what relationships are supposed to be, opposed to what they felt like they should be. I was taught that this is, you know, this is a relationship that you should have. In fact, I grew up until I was about 12 years old thinking that everybody was sexually abused. And until I started, you know, going out and talking to other people, then I found out, no, it's not. It wasn't normal. It's not, you know, not everybody is sexually abused. And so, but it set up in my mind my relationship with my, you know, the men that were authority figures in my life, and it brought that kind of man to me. It's like they, everyone says that we marry our father, and, you know, someone like our father. It's true, because we're still looking for that daddy love that we didn't get, you know, because it's very important for a female to have a good relationship with her father, and it's very important for a male to have a good relationship with their mother if they're expected to have good relationships as they grow up. And as they're growing up, interacting with other people in general. But those things set us up for our belief as we grow older. And, of course, as we grow older, we learn. We, you know, we look back and see. But, yeah, those first impressionable years where we learn everything by example of what we are told rather than what we're told. We learn by the examples, you know, done to us. And so those set up our thoughts that bring us into the relationships that we go into as we're growing up. And so, you know, that's why I wanted that love. I didn't get that love, and I didn't get that love from my mom either. It was like I wanted to, you know, have that love at a young age. And so I had a baby at 15, you know, because I wanted someone to love me unconditionally and someone I could love unconditionally, you know. So it brought out, you know, that choice, you know, in my life, you know. And who knows, I had other opportunities at that time too, because of, you know, things that were gifts of mine at the time that were, I you know, I was singing, I was in bands, but because of the choices, you know, to go off and do these other things, all that stuff went to the wayside, and I became a mother at 15. And so, you know, it's like the mindset that sets you up, or your experiences that you have from a child. And it goes on. I mean, that's up to the age of 15. And then from 15 to 30, I was just so done with all, knowing all this stuff and seeing the death of my, you know, relatives and before it happened. And still, no matter what I went through in that spirit life, I was still living the flesh and having to go now through being a mother at 15. And, you know, and that set me up for the next few people that came into my life. I have been married legally twice, and because I didn't marry my first child's father. We were 15, and our parents wouldn't let us get married. And so, you know, all these things are on my thought pattern set up to where I am now, you know, and here I can say 46 years later, you know, well, now I see this and this and this, you know. And it's like at the same time, I was still searching and seeking and wanting everything and not acknowledging that spirit within. From 15 to 30, I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. I was done with it by then. I had a near-death experience at 15 when I was giving birth to my daughter. And I feel like that had a lot to do with me not wanting to know, because I started leaving my body and going to other places. You know, and it was like this reality, that reality. I had all these things going on at once. You know, and all these things are, you know, they set your mind up. They get your thoughts, you know, set up to where you're going to go next and what choices you're going to make. And, you know, and if you can't get a balance and a great understanding, because it wasn't until I was 30 that Spirit came to me and said, okay, it's time. And it was like a little tap on my shoulder, and it was like, ding. You know, and I started seeking out the Spirit, you know, and went and got involved right away doing psychic fairs and readings. And it was like, it was just, you know, thrown right into it. And so that set up from 30 to 40.
Okay, well, do you believe that you have a one soulmate out there, one twin flame, so to speak, that's there for you for this lifetime?
No, you know, and that's a label. See, that's the other thing. We're, you know, we have so many experiences going on. We label everything to fit our thought. And so we have so many different labels. Twin soul for me, I mean twin or soulmate rather. Soulmate is like you and me. You and everyone that you touch in your life, you're a soulmate. You rotate in the same family. You rotate in the same as far as energy existences and other existences, other realms, other past lives, future spirit, because we're old. And, you know, there's few of us that are young spirit. Most of us are pretty old spirits. And that's why we're more aware in this life. Because we've had other lives. So I don't believe in a one soulmate. Like I said, I've been married twice but had three, you know, loves. And that was just the love that I married. You know, so I don't believe in that one. There's not that one. And for, you know, for some people there might be, because I believe that before we come here, contract with what we're going to do. You know, we have experiences like that soul family that we rotate with. We have experiences, and we created over time karma, and so now we had to, you know, come back, and you have to rotate back through around with those same soul mates to work karma out. You know, and so it's like that's why you need to get it this lifetime. You know, the total understanding of it all. So you don't have to keep doing that, because we're to release the karma. But as far as the soulmate, I don't believe there's one. We're all soulmates that interact, that touch each other's lives, because everyone that we meet, we learn something from. Everyone that we meet, we interact with, and we exchange our energy with. And, you know, we do that with anyone, but those on this personal level, those are your soulmates. And your twin flame. Twin flame for me was the first existence that I had in a physical form that was not, you know, before spirit, though I had a mate, and that was my twin flame. And that twin flame for me is in a higher realm. He's in a fifth dimension. That's Jacob. And we had our first experience together. But twin, would he be here on this? No, it's not possible for him to be in this lifetime for me. That's my twin flame. You know, I mean, that's my other part of me, and which is another reason why we search and seek companionship as flesh, you know, because you do have another part of you that's in the higher realm, you know, but that's not going to be someone in the flesh that comes to you in this lifetime. That's my understanding of my twin flame. And so, you know.
Well, you know, I have to address a statement, and then a couple statements actually, and some questions in the chat room, which I found, I giggled at first, and one of them was from Asbury Steve, who said, "No wonder Susie picked this topic. She was married four times with a question mark. At that point, one has to look at why they have failed so many times at marriage.
Yeah.
Has to not be self-centered and giving and willing to serve each other and believe in what you're."
I understand. Do you mind if I have addressed that?
I'm to address
because
it.
You address it. If you want to go first, because I know I haven't had failures. I did not fail my marriages. I was cheated on by every man that I chose to be in that relationship with. Did I say I cheated on? No, I was cheated on by every man Every man that I've had a relationship with has cheated on me. And that's why the relationship for me didn't work, because I'm not going to let my husband have a girlfriend. Sorry.
So let's visit that in a moment. But I do want to explain myself in this, because I have a responsibility to the listeners. And the one thing I do want to say is, first of all, I agree with Solana. You know, I don't consider any of my marriages or any of my relationships a failure. Now, with the labeled belief that I should be married to one person for the rest of my life was really the crimp that was in my life. Because I think when people view marriage that way, they're more concerned with the forever after than they are about the relationship, the nurturing of the relationship, the presence in the relationship, the mutuality and the unconditional positive regard in the relationship. I had someone ask me when I told him I was married 3 times at the time. He said, well, I guess you just never found the right guy. And I need to share with our listeners that, no, that's not it at all. They were all the right guy at the right time in my life. Now, of course, I have ups and downs. Some of those relationships were pretty heartbreaking, and there was a lot of pain involved with them. However, what I've come to know is that each single one of those relationships were my soulmates. Each one of them has been catalyst to my own growth as a better human being. So, you know, when you look at marriage and you look at divorce and you go, okay, what's the sense? You know, I don't want to go into that state of where we're saying, well, you know, why bother with marriages if you're not going to stay married? But then again, I look at my life is a journey. My life, you know, I didn't have the know-how to be able to, from each relationship. All I knew was that what I didn't want, and then I looked towards what I did want. And I didn't really understand the process. I didn't understand what came along with that. So as far as being divorced, I'll also let our listeners know that the divorce wasn't always at my hand as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not about Susie finding this one and not being satisfied and moving on to the next one and not being satisfied. You know, there was a lot of guilt and pain that I had to go through to evolve to who I am today. And I have a wonderful relationship with a wonderful man who has more components of everything that I've ever wanted now in my life than I did. But no one was at fault in those relationships for me. And if someone cheated on me, then you know, there was something going on with their path and their journey. And the one thing that helped me rise above that was that I realized that that had nothing to do with me. It really didn't. People don't understand that they're two whole people, two whole beings of light, and they join together and they create a relationship. But I think what happens is most people get involved that you're half the relationship and I'm half the relationship. And it often in the seeking of a soulmate, we get caught up in that I need to find my other half. I need to fill this void that's inside of me. And that's why I'd like to get into the externals, if we could, with what you were mentioning before.
Right, which another thing is, you know, I believe that before we come here also, you know, we know and aware of the choices that are going to come up in our path. That's why they say you can either go to the left or go to the right. Everyone has that knowledge. You know, you know what to choose right or wrong from when you make a good choice for your experience that you're going through. And eternally, that comes from the thought pattern that you've created in that adolescence and growing up into your teenagehood and going up into your 20s, depending on how long you wait to have your first marriage. A lot of it starts inside with how you feel about yourself, given the labels and the emotions that you attach to the experiences that you went through growing up. And a lot of it also has to do with past lives. You know, we created such a karmic thought, you know, that everyone is now affected, you know, by past lives that a lot of people have had to come to terms with eternally, you know, that internal mechanism that went off from another experience went off in this lifetime, and they manifested in some kind of fear or some kind of, which is another internal mechanism that brings about your thought pattern to come to choices that may not be the best ones for you. You know, it's all in that internal and knowing from within who you are, because that's where it starts, with your thought patterns and your choices, because everything starts with our thoughts. Everything you do first comes into your head, which is a thought, which is energy.
Right.
So
okay.
When you manifest that out, that's where it's really fun.
We have fun in the chat room, and I think it's really, really important to bring in the perspectives that have been floating around the chat room right now about being wrong and not getting it right. And I think a lot of us, you know, when we're going through the process, that the first thing that hits us is, what did I do wrong, or where did I go wrong, or where did we go wrong? Because the first thing that we think about is failure. And if something's not going in a direction that we expected, now let's talk about expectations, that often we look to ourselves, we pour on the guilt because we're conditioned to do this. Where did I go wrong? And it would be interesting to hear from our callers, our listeners, if they have something that they'd like to share. So I invite you to call in, gentlemen, and give us your perspective. If you're going through something right now and you want to be able to deal with it, Solana is also here, and she might be able to give you a little insight as far as a reading into what may be going on. And I don't think we have anybody calling in.
Well, you know, and let's get back to the spiritual aspect of who we are, you know, and if we don't want to tap into that, and we want to think that everything is just 3D and just what we're living and walking because our flesh is moving and we're having these experiences, and, you know, and you want to sit there and just constantly think the problem is you, and you're never going to get that you're pulling to you how you feel about yourself. So, of course, you know, people who call me in and they want to know if they're going to have their soulmate come into their life. I like to call them the intended partner of the moment because...
Well, that's, you know, when I said the right guy at the right time, with everything that I knew was everything that I was. And I attracted to myself people who, believe it or not, are really, you know, like attracts like. You're attracting someone who may have, if you've got insecurities... They may have insecurities. But what we're doing is painting a picture of our dream lover, and we have no idea whether or not we're ready to really accept what it is that we're idolizing as a soulmate in our life. So could it be really that we're not prepared to invite the people that, you know, we speculate about, that we say we really want? Are we really a vibrational match to those people?
Yes, you are. And that's why I have a short prayer meditation to do for your intended partner, to pray for them now. Pray that they're being respected now. Pray they're being appreciated now. Pray that they have gratitude in their life now. Pray that they have love in their life now. So that when you do get to that same level of vibration and you meet, you'll know. You know, that's that recognition you'll have with each other. And it will be an internal feeling. Because, yeah, you're going to pull to you exactly how you feel. It's like the first relationship that I was in that was serious, that was the father of my oldest daughter. I was not feeling the greatest about myself, and I pulled someone to me who was emotionally attached. You know, he was incapable of any commitment to me. I pulled exactly how I felt about myself. To me, and that's exactly why, you know, it didn't work out, because I started growing and, you know, becoming more of a person and realizing that, you know, I'm going to be able to, you know, grow up and mature a lot faster than he is to take care of this child. You know, I had to go from, you know, teenage mode to mommy mode. And so, you know, it was like a vibration shift for me, and he no longer could, you know, I couldn't be with him. And so, and then the next relationship that came along, the same kind of thing. I had just been going through a relationship where I was engaged, and I found out that he was cheating on me. And so I, you know, broke up with him. And then the first guy that came along, you know, I needed to have that, you know, companionship and whatever it was that, you know, I craved and needed at the time, the love that I needed, whether it was healthy or unhealthy, because for me it was unhealthy now that I look back, because it didn't attract great people to me. Or, you know, they were experiences. Yes, I learned from them, and I now know what I want and don't want. But at the time, yeah, it was how I felt about myself. I'm feeling unworthy again and insecure because, yet again, I was with someone who did not treat me properly, who did not treat me with the respect and the gratitude and appreciation, because I didn't have that for myself. You know, I didn't know what that was. You know, I wasn't taught how to be respectful to myself and appreciate and, you know, all that. No, I was thrown into a world of abuse, and, you know, and so I really had to come to terms with that and heal that situation in order to start calling the better, you know, energy level to me, so that I don't, you know, get someone who's appreciative and grateful and respectful. And so, you know, we do learn. That's the good news.
But, well, yes, and, you know, it may be take many times over. And, you know, it's funny, when there was a real pattern that I discovered as I, you know, look back now on those relationships, is that, you know, I guess you could say it's that they get that saying from the frying pan into the fire, was that I would identify something that was really not only not resonating with me, but something that was really, really, you know, stirring my soul and making me feel terrible, that I launched that powerful rocket of desire, and I wouldn't take anything less than that. But what I didn't get was the pattern that was going on. And the pattern is that the next person I wanted was everything that that other person wasn't. And then an interesting thing happened. And I want to share this with everyone, because I don't know if people are there yet, if they've experienced that. They may never experience it. It's my experience. But what I noticed was that each time I left the relationship and went into the next one, my role in that relationship became the role of my past partner. I actually got to see, it was a mirror, you know, in foresight. It was a mirror of, now I got to understand how that person felt in that last relationship. And this went on, you know, three or four relationships. I got to really see it. And it became a little humorous, because once I lightened up about it, you know, I have great relationships with most of, you know, my past marriage partners. And because I think I stuck out the relationship part. I may not have stuck out the marriage, but I didn't give up on the relationship, because to me, those relationships were timeless and ever changing. And they still are till this day. And, you know, the one thing I recognized, though, was the pattern. So when you say we all learn, but how much are we really taking a look at, you know, what are those patterns that we've had? Why are we jumping from the frying pan into the fire? Why is it that we think that this person's our soulmate, and then we're devastated when they're the one that says, I don't have the same feelings as you do? Well, then, obviously, there's the disconnect. There is either that person is now a catalyst to your growth. There's something that needs to come from this that's going to help you catapult to your next level. Now the question is, are you being conscious of that and taking that with you?
I actually didn't see that until my last divorce, which was in 99, after a 17-year marriage. And it took me really 6 months to sit there and look at everything that I had gone through up to that point, and, you know, and why I had gone that way, and my part in it. I'm not saying don't take responsibility for your actions, but I saw my part in it, where I expected a certain behavior from this individual that was beyond apparently the expectation or the level of commitment that he was able to make, because of his thought patterns and what he had, you know, gone through, and for whatever reason he had to go and do what he did and you know, break up the marriage. So, you know, I take responsibility in that I had expectations of that relationship that, you know, I had no right to have, you know, because I didn't fully give everything in the way that I should have given it because of my thoughts and my patterns that I'd gone through, you know, before the marriage and even during the marriage. That marriage, I had so many lifetimes in that marriage. It was just incredible what we went through. so, you know, we've been a lot into that 17 years, and now he's at the point in a relationship, and he has been now for 10 years. And he can't even speak to me because of the thought pattern and insecurities of the woman he's with. You know, so, because she's so, you know, just, she's just afraid. Because she got him the way, that's why I say, too, you usually get him the way you lose him. And so, you know, he was actually cheating on someone else when I met him. So, and I didn't find out about her until after we were married. And so, you know, it's all this, it's all a thought pattern. You're setting yourself up for failure. Because you're fear-based, you're violent-based, you've gone through all of these experiences in your lifetime, you've witnessed all of these experiences that go on throughout the world, and that sets you up in a fear base, and so you have expectations that go way beyond anybody's probably capable level, you know, and so I always live now to expect the unexpected. I put no expectations on any of my relationships. They are what they are, and I allow them to be. And so, and I did not allow that. I was, you know, it's like I had my thought pattern, and this is the way it's going to be. And if it's not this way, then this and this and this is going to happen. Well, because I have that fear base, this and this and this and this happened anyway. You know, no matter what I tried to do.
Exactly.
You know, I tried for 6 months after that relationship was over to keep that relationship. You know, I was not going to fail, but I had already, you know, set myself up to fail, you know, with my thoughts and my patterns, which I've changed since then.
you know, Steve brought up a really good point, and I want to talk about that too, because as humans, you know, the ego has one purpose, overall purpose, and that is to, it's really high connection, or it's bolted connection, I should say, to appreciation. And oftentimes when a lover or, you know, a husband or a wife or spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, leaves us, we suddenly feel this form of unappreciation for whatever it is that we've put into the relationship. It kind of really strips our self-esteem. And what I want people to be able to recognize is that whatever was going on there really doesn't have anything to do with you. And you might argue and you might say, well, yeah, but he wanted it or she wanted it a certain way, and I didn't live up to that. And I think what happens is we all go into the habit of trying to fix the relationship. Because we were fused, we were bonded, and now we have this obsession to not have this this infusion or this bond to break. So we automatically go into fix-it mode. And what happens when we go into fix-it mode, when we're not aligned with our own unique value and in appreciating ourselves, we start to change who we are. And
exactly.
We're not coming from our authentic self anymore. What we're trying to do is to pay back or to create a scenario or an illusion that will get that person to acknowledge. And I think that's a lot of us get stuck there. And I know I've been there myself where I suddenly started, you know, looking at the relationship and saying, no, this has got to work. I remember being in my last marriage. I had gone to a very dear friend and had a conversation, and I said, but I made my commitment, you know, and I'm tired of this. I'm tired of moving from relationship to relationship. I said, you know, what can I do? I'm not going to break from this. And she said to me the most profound words that I ever heard, and I have to say it was one of the largest expansions I've ever had on my spiritual journey, and that was, Susie, you cannot unite with someone who's refusing to unite with you. There is no unity. There is no commitment when that happens. And I said, well, I understand he doesn't want to be there anymore. And she said, no, you need to internalize this. You need to take this inside and realize that you don't have a unity. That person is no longer connected to you on that level or wants to be. So stop trying to fuse the two, you know, trying to fit the square peg into the round hole. It's not going to work.
Right. And which we do all the time.
Yeah, and that was a great thing. Once I internalized that, I realized that, I need to slow down and start looking at what's going on. But you know what, Solana, we do have a caller on the line. I'd like to bring them on.
Okay.
Since we only have about 15 minutes. Is that okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hey.
Who's this?
This is Rosie.
Hey. Hey, Rosie.
Hi. I miss most of the show. I can't get into the chat room, but I have to put my 2 cents in.
Okay.
So the two things, I don't know if you ladies mentioned it, but you just, Susie, you just touched on something. You know, all my life I've always been, since I was a little girl, I've always had this fascination with these older couples that hold hands, and they just seem to have these wonderful relationships that seem to withstand the test of time. And I've always asked them, like, first of all, how did you meet? You know, and it's always something unusual. It was something that wasn't planned. You know, like one person didn't feel like going out, and they decided to go to a handball court, and they met their future husband there, or a party, or whatever. But there's one thing that I've noticed that I've gotten from all these little surveys that I've done. Both parties have to be mutually in it to win it.
Mm-hmm.
In order for your relationship to withstand the test of time. And you both have to be willing to really fight for the relationship. Because there are times when things happen. You know, outside factors come in and you can get distracted, and I don't mean by distracted by being with another individual. No, I'm just saying distracted, period. So involved in, let's say you're having problems on the job or whatever, or you just get bored and you fall out of love. You know, that
right,
can't.
Right, so we have a responsibility to that as a partner.
Right, right. And so if you're mutually invested, then what happens is you allow the other partner and you work with the other partner to get that love back in, to get that interest back in, to get your focus back in on your relationship. You know,
right, you both have to be of the mind to want it to work and to make an effort and be proactive in that, you know. And
the best thing
go
ahead, Solana.
I was just going to say, you know, that brings us to the other level that I tried to get to before, that, you know, we see our lives before we come here. We know choices that we are going to be given. And we know some of the people that are going to be coming into our life in that meaningful way. And we understand the relationship and the lesson and how long it can last and how long it, you know, it won't last. And we see all that. So for those relationships that don't last a lifetime and you have 3 or 4 very significant relationships within that lifetime, every one of them is a contract. You know, we see it before we come. It's set up before we get here. And so, that's another thing we need to look at. That's being in that knowing and being in that spirit and understanding who you are in this lifetime and what your purpose is. And, you know, you have to go within to find that. You have to go within to find out what your contracts are. I've had to recently go and look and see what my contract is with that first, father of my baby that I had. What was our contract? Because we still talk. We still, 20 years later, we were able to start talking again. So for the last 10 years, we've been talking. And so, I had to find out what that relationship was because it was really starting to bug me. And so I was able to go and look at that contract. You know, it's that we have that ability within us. We have all this memory locked in store inside us, and we only have to go and unlock it and go within and find out what that is for yourself and find out the relationships that you're in, if you're not happy, why, what's going on. You know, all these answers are within us. You know, and that's one of the reasons that we go and search out and seek out a partner is because we don't go within. We're not taught to go within. We're taught just the opposite from when we're born in this life. It's been the history of this planet to be taught to have to go externally to go for your salvation. They tell you to accept Jesus within your heart, but then they tell you, but wait. You have to wait for his return. Well, how do you accept him in your heart if you are still waiting for his return? And so it's right there before us. It's in front of our face. It's something that everyone is looking for, that extra key. What am I missing? And usually it's because they've gone within and sought out their own questions to their answers.
Mm-hmm. And the second thing that I wanted to point out that is very real in my face right now, you know, like Susie was saying, that things she noticed that she didn't do right, or things that mistakes we may have made. There's one thing I've noticed that I have done in the past that I'm trying very hard not to do right now, and that is that I have always brought the negative past experiences with me into the new relationship, mm-hmm. and I right. didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's on an unconscious level that we do it, because our thoughts are guiding and directing us that powerfully.
Yeah. And it is not fair to the person that you're with, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not fair to yourself either. So, you know, for those people that give up a person and jump into another relationship right away, you really need to get, if you are in a relationship where you're really invested in it and it doesn't work, you really do need to give yourself the space and time.
That's so true. To heal.
To get
heal.
To know, go inside. Get to know you again, because sometimes
exactly.
you lose yourself in a relationship.
Exactly.
So you really need to find out who you are again.
That's right. You look at what worked, what didn't work, why it worked, why it didn't work, and what did you learn from it, and how did you grow. And once you look at all that, you begin that healing process and take the part that you grew from with you. That's what you take. You take the positive,
exactly.
not the negative.
Right, yeah, and we've just been set up to repeat that old pattern, you know, and it's time to get out of that and start that new and look at everything for the lesson it is. Don't look at it as a failure or a mistake. Just look at it as a lesson, an experience that you were meant to go through, and get something out of it positive, even if it's how not to act, how not to treat someone, you know. You can see the way that things are backwards when you look at it in a different perspective. And when you look at it like that.
Yeah, and in any event, I believe before anyone can really embark on a new relationship is really take the time to be by yourself.
Yeah.
Do that mm-hmm. sifting and sorting and, you know, be able to decide what it was that you learned, what you took along the way, how you can now align with that with yourself, because if you keep going on expecting that someone else is going to provide that void, you know, I think it's going to be a never-ending struggle. And we can have beautiful, fulfilling, and expanding relationships, you know, and I sincerely believe that, and I believe that every single relationship along the way is a stepping stone. It's a stepping stone to your growth. It's a stepping stone to you opening up and raising your levels of consciousness. Now, you know, I can consciously go into conversations with my partner. I can consciously be aware. And I think the biggest thing, and this is something that Ariel Ford mentioned, was that before we do that, let's take a look at forgiveness. Forgiveness really has to be addressed, because any kind of resentment that we have, whether it's with ourselves for looking at mistakes and failures and looking at it, you know, conceptually like that, it prevents us. And what it causes is us to attract more of the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right,
more of the resentment.
Yeah, more of it. That's why I like to start off a lot of when I do one-on-one with people, is to tell them that once they go within, they have to acknowledge the fact that they chose to come into this lifetime. They chose the parents, the people that are around them. And then the next thing they have to do is to forgive themselves for choosing this and understand why they had to choose it. And then forgive everyone that they feel has hurt them in this lifetime. And that is where your healing begins, is once you can look within, forgive yourself, and then forgive others. Because, again, it's a reflection of how you feel inside yourself. And so you have to give yourself that forgiveness as well.
Yes, yes. And it starts with you. It starts with mm-hmm. you. Stop trying to forgive everyone else when you're bottled up with resentment about what you might have done wrong.
Exactly.
And
that's guilt. That's the worst sin.
Yeah.
And also, like, for these people that like to jump around from relationship to relationship, you have to think, when you're with a person over a certain course of time, you have their energy all over you.
Yes.
So that when you go into another relationship, that energy is still with you. You have to give yourself time to disconnect and take your power back.
You know, Eckhart Tolle told us that. You know, and he gave a really good example about having a session with a woman, a conversation, and then entering a restaurant and having all of that energy just explode in front of him after he'd left the conversation. So, yes, we are energy beings. And I would rather keep my energy and try to align it myself by not, you know, and let's not forget, when we jump into relationships, and this is something I've come to know now, you take responsibility for the energy that you pour outwards.
That's right.
You know, we can be self-serving and say, well, this is, you know, this is good and that's all that, you know, I have to offer and that's all he has to offer or she or vice versa. And you know, it leaves something with us. What is it that you want left with you? Take responsibility about how your energy affects other people as well. You know, and what's going to be left for that person? I mean, if you're engaging mm-hmm. and people start getting different impressions about you, and now you're like, oh, they're stalking me. Well, what did you put out there? Mm-hmm. Take a look at what, how you represented yourself, because that energy flows and it expands.
Mm-hmm. It's called the boomerang effect. You can Google it. And energy goes around, and it comes around and goes back around. I mean, they have perfect examples of it in a lot of movies where they have someone who's running late for work, and then it shows how they go around and how it just affected everything, where this woman ended up in an accident and ended up dying. And if he had, you know, been on time, she wouldn't have been in that accident. She wouldn't have died. It's the energy effects. Everything we do affects everything. That energy goes around, whether we are aware of it or not. It is putting out, you're putting it out there. And so that's what's going to come back around to you.
That's
so
right.
It's an energy effect. Everything affects everything. So be careful. Think good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even like, let's take the example that you gave, Solana. You know, I wake up in the morning, and I have to go to work, and I'm late. And then mm-hmm. what happens is I'm agitated because I'm late. Then on my way, what happens? The very bus I'm on breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
Then it breaks down, another bus comes. The bus comes, but because that bus broke down, I missed my connection with my train.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
right.
the never-ending downward spiral.
I'm even more agitated. I go on the train. What happens? Someone argues with me on the train because I'm agitated and I'm bringing it to me. You
right.
know, so when as soon as something like that happens, the best thing you can do is turn it around. Turn your attitude around. Change it to something positive. And then what happens is you cut that flow.
Right, exactly. Don't be agitated. You know, go out the door and catch, you know, the next bus and just get there when you get there.
Mm-hmm. See, I love these conversations, girls, because I could go on forever, and we have, like, less than 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
It just flies right? by, but I really want to thank you both. And I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, caller.
It's
I want to
me,
thank you.
Mystic Butterfly. It's Rosie.
I'm sorry?
Susie, it's Mystic Butterfly.
Oh, my baby butterfly. I'm so sorry. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you really for contributing tonight, and thank you, Solana, for joining me, and thank all our guests in the chat room. We have some really uplifting help going on in the chat room, so I really appreciate that. And I do want to make an announcement that upcoming on Wisdom Wide Open Radio, we will be featuring Lisa Nichols from The Secret and the movie Kymatica, as well as some new upcoming authors that will be featuring on our new author series. So be sure to tune in. And also, I'll be a guest on Harry Shade's program on Blog Talk Radio this Wednesday evening at 10 p.m., and that's blogtalkradio.com/Harry Shade, and you'll be able to keep up with me and my endeavors in my writing endeavors and what I'm doing to help raise consciousness. So I look forward to seeing you all again next week. And thank you again, thank you. Mystic Butterfly and Solana, my dear friend. Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
All right. And don't forget to tune in to Solana's show on Saturday Night Life. I love that.
Yes.
Yeah,
with Rosie.
Cool?
Yeah. And then and Friday nights also.
Yeah, Friday nights also. You know what? Solana's on the air whenever it moves her, and I love that.
Right.
But thanks again, everyone. And
remember
to find the joy in enjoying your journey, because that's what you're all about. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Peace and love.